Welcome to another episode of Meditation, Tapping Into Your Inner Guidance podcast. I'm your host, Chris Ford. This podcast is all about helping you to grow, to meditate, and to elevate. So we have a guest today. My guest, he's an author of two books, which can be found on Amazon. He teaches a segment on Facebook called Monday Minute and Teach Me Tuesdays to inspire others and to get up and win, but more importantly, to learn. He's a public speaker and a mentor, helping youth and educating people on mental health and disenfranchised youth. He's a husband and a father. Here's my good friend, Jay Smith. Welcome, Jay.
What's up, man? I appreciate it, man.
Hey, man, you're very welcome. So, yeah, man, I've been trying to get you on this podcast for a hot minute. What's been up?
Nothing much, man, nothing much. But I just want to say, y'all, before we get started, I just want to take this time to give a shout out to all of the veterans worldwide. Just, you know, taking the time out to appreciate what they do.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, shout out to all the veterans out there that serve their country, that serve this country. And, you know, we appreciate you so much. So, yeah, Jay, so let's get right into it, shall we?
No problem.
All right. So how did you get started and what inspired you to start this journey?
Good question, good question. Well, you know, I'm from Belgrade, Florida, also known to some as Muck City. And, you know, growing up in Belgrade, Florida, is no secret. 40% poverty rate, unemployment rate is sky high. We had one high school, no malls, no skating rinks, no real place to hang out. But in spite of that, there are a lot of good people, man, in Belgrade, Florida. And my grandmother was one of those people. So every year, I would eye this boom box she had in her living room. And every year she would tell me no. But finally, one year she decided to say, you know what, go ahead and take it. So when I brought the boom box home, I would record, you know, different rap songs and try to write it down and, you know, create my own rap lyrics or whatever. And over a period of time, as I matured, those rap lyrics turned into poems. And then after that, those poems turned into the content that you see today. So I've been writing probably ever since I was like maybe 11, 12, 13, somewhere up in there. So her giving me that boom box and really let me explore really inspired me to get started.
Wow, that's awesome. Because, you know, whenever I met you, actually at work, you know, we used to talk, you know, here and there, and right. And you used to just have a lot of quotes, and I'm like, man, this guy's quoting all the you know, entrepreneurs who are millionaires and billionaires, you know, and I'm like, how is he remembering all these quotes? And so, you know, I was inspired by that, and I was like, man, you should do something with this. And you know, come to find out, you started writing a book, and I didn't know about it until it was finished. And I was like, okay, well, I'm excited about that. So, in saying that, you know, what is your why? What's the reason you do this?
Good question. My why, I was very fortunate to grow up in an era where you still had both grandparents. My why would have to be my mother's mom, my grandmother Sarah. And the reason being is she was in the education field for about 14 years before she passed. And it's just some of the things that she instilled in me over a period of time. I mean, whether she was lying to me or not, because she had, you know, other grandchildren, she always made me feel like, you know, I was the one. And I couldn't quite understand that growing up. So I just would, you know, think about some of the things that she instilled. Like, for example, a routine. Every summer on Mondays at 5 o'clock p.m., you know, whether we was outside, no matter where we were, she would come on the front porch and yell out our name individually. And all the kids would laugh at us in the community. So she called us in her back room, and we would have Bible study every Monday at 5 p.m. during the summer. And as we were sitting there, upset, mad, or whatever, because we can still hear the kids through my grandmother's window, you know, harassing us or, you know, playing tricks on us. You know, they're calling us, teasing us, saying our name through the window. And we wanted to be outside as kids. But unfortunately, you know, my grandmother instilled that discipline that, you know, 5 o'clock every Monday, I want you guys here in my room. We're talking about the Bible. You know, forget about playing football, sports. Forget about your friends. I need your undivided attention right now. So just growing up and, you know, having that type of discipline instilled in us that she taught us over a period of time, it kind of stuck with me. And just through conversations with her, man, you know, sometimes my cousins, they would be outside and I would maybe step inside to use the restroom and she would call me into the room. She was like, hey, come here for a minute, let me tell you something. And we would talk for about 10 or 15 minutes and she would just, you know, blow my mind with all these quotes and all these things about what she sees in me and about, you know, how to go about being an example for my other siblings. And I was confused because there were siblings older than me. So I never quite understood, like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, you know, why me? It's really going in one ear but out the other because, you know, I'm ready to go back outside and play.
Right.
But, you know, she instilled that in me and, you know, she always made me feel like, you know, I had a purpose or a calling. So, you know, that's pretty much my why, the things that she instilled in me. And, you know, hopefully she's proud, you know, looking down on me and my process.
Well, I'm sure she is, man. I mean, you know, like I said, you took that lesson and then, you know, you being inspired and just sticking with it. You know, like I said, a lot of times growing up, you as a young child, you're not sure exactly why, you know, adults kind of put you through something for a lesson to be learned,
right,
until you get older. And then when you become an adult, you're like, hey man, I'm grateful for that lesson.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that lesson was actually a blessing.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I mean, you know, you've inspired me. You've actually inspired me to write my own book, because I saw you getting on your grind. I was like, hold up, don't leave me. So, you know, I know people talk about their strengths,
right,
but what would you say is one of the biggest weaknesses that you have?
Wow, that's good question, man. I would have to say one of my biggest weaknesses is I can't turn off the process.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is I'm constantly thinking of, you know, how to be innovative. I'm constantly thinking of, you know, what can I learn next? You know, I'm constantly, you know, on the entrepreneurship grind, but at the same time, you know, that can be detrimental. And, you know, sometimes we can be so caught up in our own purpose that, you know, we negate the small things that matter, whether it's your wife, whether it's your family, you know, just the small things that you have to be aware of. And what people don't realize about success is, man, success is a very boring highway. A lot of times you feel alone. It's a very methodical and routine process. You're working on skill sets that may not pay off until 10 or 20 years down the road. And I think that, you know, most people are not successful because that highway is not, you know, guaranteed or right away gratification or satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, they make these detours and wonder why they're not successful. So they look back and be like, man, I was on the same road he was on, man. How he get like that? And I'm still, you know, in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they lose that consistency. So what helped me out over the years was meditation. Because with meditation, it keeps you aligned. It keeps you everything centered as far as your values, you know, what's important, you know, stepping back and becoming aware of your surroundings and saying, hey, you know, I need to do more of this and less of this. So it pretty much keeps things in alignment. So that pretty much has helped me. And, you know, even though it's a weakness, I learn from that weakness to utilize meditation.
Yeah, and that's so important. That's what I teach people. You know, I tell them, you know, it's all about being centered. And then not only that, but meditation helps you to focus on observing, you know, the inner you, your right. thoughts, your energy, your emotions. And once you observe them and learn how to incorporate them into what you do, you know, you don't allow yourself to get too excited or too upset about certain things.
Right.
It allows you to play bigger in life, because it becomes addictive. You know, you realize that through meditation, you can manifest things. And once you start to see things coming to fruition through your manifestation, you want to meditate all the time, you know, because you feel like that's what's helping you to have those small wins. And then eventually the big wins and you know, it just opens up the door for a lot of other things to take place in your life.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So what inspired you to keep going?
That's a good question, man. Definitely a good question. I would say the end result. And what I mean by that is, as a corrections officer, and I've been a corrections officer now, I would say about going on close to 20 years. And one of the things that I do is I help empower disenfranchised youth to overcome life obstacles so they can avoid the school-to-prison pipeline.
Hmm.
And it's different, you know, looking at things on the news versus, you know, being and seeing it, you know, close up in person. A lot of these guys are one decision away from altering their entire life, and some already have. And I think through social and emotional intelligence, which is also known as SEL, you know, social awareness, teaching kids responsible decision-making skills, through self-management, I think by teaching that skill set, we can alter their mindset and teach them that, you know, their overall society or what they're being prone to, you know, is bigger than the confines, you know, of, you know, what they're being adopted to or what they have adapted to over a period of time.
Mm.
Because most kids don't know that there is life outside of what they've been exposed to.
Okay.
You know, all kids know is, you know, violence, gang activity, you know, riding with the homeboys. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, you know, I can understand it because I'm from that area. I'm from that era, which is in Berkeley, Florida. So I've seen it all. So I think seeing the end result and helping them to alter their mindset, teaching them that there is better. Like I have two boys of myself. So I try to instill in them as well. You know, I see myself in my sons. And I see the youth, and I try to, you know, stick that to them as far as, hey, you know, if you make this decision, or if you go down this road, these are the possibilities of what could take place.
Mm-hmm.
And just to have them to understand that and to be transparent and look at things as well as from their perspective. Because a lot of times, you know, we point the finger and say, you know, this is how things should be done. But we have to remember, we also have to be transparent as well and come down and meet them at their level in order to understand their point of view as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is one of the things that keep me going, man. The end result of, you know, seeing the kids alter their mindset.
Yeah, and that's very special too. I mean, because, you know, we've heard it talked about so many times that it takes more than the parents to raise children. It takes a village.
Right.
And you know, and I know that you're doing your part, but it's also like you're seeing your road to success, and you're reaching back saying, hey, you know, I found a path to success. And all you got to do is remain consistent and then just continue to follow up on, you know, seeing the doorways open and then busting them down, even if they don't open, you know, find a different route. Because there's always different routes to success. It's about how you get there.
I agree.
And learning lessons on the way.
Absolutely.
Yep. So I noticed that you spoke at a school summit conference in Las Vegas. Yes, at the Caesar's Palace, guys. He was at the Caesar's Palace, you know, in the suite. So what was one of your biggest takeaways there at the conference?
Wow, man. I mean, first and foremost, man, the atmosphere was speechless. I mean, from the people, the crowd, you know, meeting the different school district personnel, the administrators, the principals, it was phenomenal. But my biggest takeaway, I would say, that I've learned being there was networking.
Mm.
Just paying attention to how people move, exchanging information. You know, it helps you see the real world when it comes to education. You know, how the needle really moves. I was able to meet a couple of people, and some of those people I still keep in contact with to this very day. So I would say networking, man, was one of the, you know, one of the biggest takeaways that I not only observed, but also as well, you know, I participated in myself. You know, I didn't want to be left behind. I was like, hey, no, hold on for a minute. You know, my name is such and such. This is what I do. You know, here's some information, you know, and it became like a natural conversation over a period of time. You know, you meet people from all different walks of life. You learn their perspective on different issues as it relates to education or disenfranchised youth. So it was fun, man. It was nothing like I ever expected. And even though people may look over that as, you know, minute, but networking will take you to an entirely different level, man, if you entertain it. So I would say probably networking was my biggest takeaway.
Awesome, man. So I know that, you know, you took away a lot of key points that was talked about in the conference, and then just learning how to network and collaborate with other entrepreneurs that are doing the same thing that you in, the same genre that you are.
Right.
I know that was it was a lesson that you learned, and then two, you know, it taught you a lesson in networking, you know, how to branch out, how to reach out to other people, because that was just one event. But what about the preceding events after that? Right. You know what I mean? So guys, networking is the key to your success. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to meet people, and you got to ask them those tough questions, you know, like what helped them to succeed, or when they was at their lowest point, you know, about to quit, like what gave them that hope to move past that point. Right. So those are the questions that you need to ask other entrepreneurs that may be in a different space or may be at a different level than you. Right. So you can gradually get to that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I remember telling you, Jay, a while back, right, you should start doing videos. Now I see you, you know, I see you on YouTube, I see you on Facebook, you know, you got the Monday Minute, you got the Teach Me Tuesdays.
Right.
So you've been following suit, and now you're doing podcasts, you know. You have your own podcast, or I've seen some where maybe you was a guest on a podcast. Do you have any endeavors of maybe starting your own podcast, or you know, what I want to know is what has been your greatest challenge in doing the videos?
Oh man, to be honest, and you know, I can be totally transparent because you already know I wasn't with the videos, man. I was
yeah. Hey guys, he was scared to do the videos. He was like, I ain't gonna put my face on the camera. I ain't gonna do all that. They can hear my voice.
But you know, over time, man, I learned, you know, it's okay to be an introvert sometimes, and it's also okay to be an extrovert. And I think I'm a combination of, you know, both. You know, I know when, you know, and where to be an introvert versus an extrovert. Mm. So once I finally got over that hurdle, and I think it's about, you know, I guess hearing your own voice, you know,
right,
not being accustomed to that. And once I got over that, because, you know, I know the information, but once I got over the hump or that hurdle, you know, I challenged myself to become as consistent as possible. So, you know, that's why you see the videos. That's why you see me branching off into Teach Me Tuesdays for At-Risk Youth. I just challenge myself, man, and just try to utilize my skill set and knowledge to the best of my abilities. So just learning, you know, introvert and extrovert, that it's okay to combine them both. You know, it's okay to be both. So I just try to, you know, channel that energy in the best way I can. You know, I'm still, I think, in my opinion, I'm an introvert. You know, I'm laid back most of the time. You know, humble. But I think when I need to be, because I'm a Leo, man. I'm a Leo. When I need to.
Shout out to the Leos.
I can be, you know, an extrovert when I have to.
Yeah.
So just, you know, learning, you know, and, you know, riding that energy, man, ultimately helped me expose myself and, you know, helped me to do the videos that I didn't really want to do.
Yeah, I understand that, man, because, you know, me, myself, I'm an introvert as well, you know. But that's the thing. It's like I see a lot of introverts are starting podcasts. You know, if you get them in front of a big room, a crowd of 100, 200, 1,000 people screaming, you know what I'm saying? Like, that scares them to death. They don't want to walk on stage, you know. Of course, they don't want to speak on a, you know, on a speaker or whatever, on a mic. But just for them being inside that environment, you know, it scares people, especially introverts. But here's the thing, right? We learned that it's okay to fail.
Right.
Or it's okay to be scared. Because you know who has succeeded that was also scared? Magic Johnson.
Right.
Michael Jordan. You know, all of these entertainers. Beyonce, I'm sure she was scared at one time. Jay-Z.
Right.
All of these people, right, they was at one time, they were introverts until they practiced enough to become comfortable with hearing their voice, with practicing in front of big crowds and realizing that, hey, you know, it's okay to make mistakes.
Right.
I can make mistakes whenever I practice, because practice makes perfect.
Right.
Well, we always hear practice makes perfect, but in actuality, what makes you perfect is when you fail, because you learn to appreciate those failures or those shortcomings, and then you start to see the success and you're not afraid to fail anymore, because you realize that everybody trips every now and then.
Right.
Beyonce, she did it at the Super Bowl. She tripped, right? But what did she do? She didn't let that get her down. She popped back up and act like it was a part of the show.
Right.
You know, so that's what you got
to
do.
And to be even more transparent on that, man, you know, when I entered the room where I was speaking at, and I was like, okay, cool, I can do this. But as the people started walking in, I'm like, hold on for a minute. You know, it got from 20 to 80 to over 100 real fast. So I'm like, oh, man. But, you know, like you said, you know, once you continue to practice and, you know, you do your meditation and you learn to, you know, channel that energy. Once it was time to go, man, and I put the mic in my hand, you know, I became the extrovert. I became the extrovert. I don't know where it came from. I have no idea. I can't even explain it. But when it was all said and done, I'm back to the introvert.
Right.
Even though when people was coming up to me and, you know, they were asking, you know, questions and things of that nature, I'm like, you talking to me? You know, so, you know, I reverted back to introvert because, you know, I'm not really accustomed to that, you know. But, you know, like you said, man, you live and you learn and you're able to, you know, channel that energy in the right path. So, you know, like you said, you know, failure makes you the best version of you, and, you know, and also learning from that failure.
Absolutely. So as a speaker, what is your overall goal as it relates to disenfranchised youth?
Okay.
Disfranchised youth.
I can honestly say, and, you know, I can say this boldly because, you know, I can believe in this. I would say my ultimate goal as a speaker is to impact over a million youth. And I say that because, you know, it's something I believe in. Most people will look at that number and may be intimidated or feel like, you know, that number is impossible. But I feel as though if it's your purpose, you know what you're here for, and everything aligns, you know, with the sun, moon, and stars, what have you, I think it's possible. I don't think anything you set for yourself is impossible. I'm a firm believer in whatever the mind can conceive, you know, and believe is possible. And, you know, I think that long as I stay consistent, you know, keep my head down, and I look up 20, 30 years from now, that number really is attainable. So my overall goal is to impact 1 million disenfranchised youth.
That's very special. And here's the thing, right? Like you said, most people, they get afraid of that number, 1 million.
Right.
But when you look at it, right, how long have you been doing this?
I want to say 2016.
2016. So roughly about, what, 5-6 years?
Right.
So within 5 or 6 years, you know, you just break it down into small bites.
Right.
Like, how many people do you plan to speak to or inspire or encourage within a year, you know? And right. then you look at, okay, the shows that you're invited to. So if it's, you know, 100 people at the conference, or 500 people at the conference. So you look at it like that.
Right.
And then let's just say you do 20 shows in a year, right? Or 20 conferences in a year, 500 people at the conference. So once you break that down and, you know, you look at it, expand it out within a 5-year time frame, right. guys, you're already there. And so whether those people are inspired or encouraged to move past whatever point they are mm-hmm. or not, you've done your job. Not only inspiring them, but guess what? They're going to start to do conferences.
Right.
If that's their goal and their wish and their dream, right? And they may be invited to a conference that may have 20,000 people.
Right.
So you are affecting thousands and even millions of people based on the people that you're inspiring or and encouraging. And right. as they move into their space and they're choosing to do the same thing, those people are affected by the encouragement that you gave that one person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then that number, it also pushes you outside of your comfort zone and forces you to expand. It forces you to gravitate to learn more knowledge, and it forces you to ask yourself, you know, how can I be a servant, you know, to people as quick as possible? You know, how can I serve? You know, that's the first question I ask myself. And that's one of the first questions I ask myself when I write books, you know, how can I serve? So I think, you know, as long as we keep that in mind, 1 million youth is possible.
Absolutely. It sure is. So, yeah, speaking of fire, guys, J. Smith has a book, and it's titled Fire, right? Okay, so the subtitle is A Jumpstart to Refueling Your Inner Flame.
Right.
So, Jay, tell me the initials FIRE. What does that, the acronym FIRE, what does that mean to you?
FIRE is an acronym for Failure Is Rarely External.
Mm.
And while I was writing this book, I'm going to be honest, man, it took me a couple months to write. You know, I had to, like you were saying, I had to really break it down, like how you break down the elephant. And, you know, you take it, you know, bit by bit, piece by piece. And I think over a period of time, just the things that I experienced in the, some of the books that I've read inspired me. I think a lot of times we, as humans, we lose that fire or that God-given ability or sense of direction. We know what we were supposed to be doing, but life, you know, puts us in a standstill, or we come to a halt. But satisfaction or success doesn't come externally. It's pretty much internally. Mm. But a lot of things we do in our mindset and, you know, how we see the world, it alters our course. And that's why I said that fire is rarely external. You know, it's inside of us. It's how we view things. It's what we think about. It's our routines. It's who we hang around. And, you know, that just, and a funny thing about that is, man, I was praying and meditating about a title for the book.
Mm.
And I could not, for the life of me, man, come up with the title. So I prayed and meditated on it. And I remember downstairs in my bathroom, I went in and I was like, God, man, I need a title, man. I need this like ASAP. So the word like fire kept whispering and whispering. I'm like, fire, what is that? Fire? So I'm like, okay, cool, I'll write it down. So as I begin, you know, to write it down, I'm like, yeah, but I see fire, but it's not making sense. It's not adding up.
Mm.
And as I began to write the acronym down, and I'm like, whoa, it was one of those like moments where your hair stands on your skin, man. You're like, oh snap. Okay, this is what you meant. So ever since then, man, you know, I pretty much just ran with it. You know, fire is rarely external. A jump start to refueling your inner flame. And a lot of us, I think, you know, we know the route we want to go. We know the direction we're going to take. But we just need, you know, to stop and refuel in order to keep going, in order to be successful.
Wow. So, yeah. So through reading your book, man, you know, I had to stop on page 28. And this is one of my favorite parts. As you can see, I still have your bookmark right there. It says, before the sun rises. This is a quote, guys. Success isn't a result of spontaneous combustion. You must set yourself on fire. And this is by Andrew Glasgow. So how has that quote helped you to move through life, through trials and tribulations? Like when no one is watching you, when you're doing a video and you don't see any likes or you don't see any views, anybody viewing you, like what gets you past that point where you're like, man, I'm not getting no traction. Where's everybody at?
Right. Good question. First of all, I remind myself that nobody is coming to save me. You know, it's nobody's job to pat me on my back. It's nobody's job to say I'm doing it, you know, a good job. You know, it's my job to keep my why intact. You know, as long as I'm doing things purposefully and with good intention and integrity, then everything else will fall in line. And the number one thing you have to remember is to remain consistent, because people will only invest in you when you invest in yourself. And as long as you can remain consistent, you know, people will, you know, they, after a while or over a period of time, you eventually catch on fire. Because people don't understand, you can put one piece of content out and it may not go viral for, you know, 3-4 years. You never have to do that again. But so, you know, you have to remain consistent as possible. Even though you may not feel like people are watching, trust me, people are watching. And there's a lot of people who are watching just to see how consistent you are. You know, a lot of people are watching to see your growth. And, you know, once they hire you or bring you in their realm, you know, they'll tell you, hey, man, listen, you know, I've been watching you for a while. I've seen your growth. I think that you're worthy, or that you survived this, or, you know, you have done enough to say, hey, here goes, you know, a $2,000 check, or here goes a $4,500 check. You know, everybody started somewhere. Everybody started somewhere. So it's your job to keep educating yourself. It's your job to keep learning. It's your job to, you know, gravitate to those mentors and, you know, soak up as much knowledge as you can, because nobody's going to do it for you. I firmly believe that we all have the same 24 hours in a day. Oprah, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Jay-Z, everybody has 24 hours in a day. It's just how you go about utilizing that time frame. So it's your job to, you know, set yourself on fire. Yeah. And long as you do that, the rest of the world will come and watch you burn.
Absolutely. Because, you know, those people that you name, I guarantee you that, you know, in order to reach their full potential and to have the vision that they have, you know, they didn't have that vision by watching TV, by doing things that purposely takes away from, you know, them focusing on their goals, them reaching a pinnacle where they realize, okay, yeah, this is my niche.
Right.
This is what I must do. This is how I'm going to feed my family. You know, they realize that, hey, I got to cut back on watching the TV.
Right.
I have to cut back on, you know, playing the games. I have to, you know, do what I need to do in order to feed my family, in order to create a legacy. And that's what's so important, that, you know, we got to take time. If we take time out to do these other things, to be on social media, to, you know, do the things that we enjoy, that's called entertainment.
Right.
We must do the things that is going to put us in a position one day where we don't have to go in and clock in for nobody. We clock in on our own. We clock in for our own business, not someone else's business.
That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, you wrote these two books. Any plans on writing any more?
Absolutely, man. Right now, I'm working on something. You can look forward to that sometime next year. But, you know, I'm constantly challenging myself. I'm constantly pushing myself. Because you're only as good as, you know, the last thing you did. So I don't try to get, you know, caught up in the hype. I know a lot of people are like, hey, man, you know, I seen you in Vegas. Yeah, to, you know, to me, that's cool. But in my mind, I'm like, you know, what's next? You know, because it always can get better. And I don't try to, you know, stay in that mindset of, oh, I was in Vegas. You know, I seen this person. I seen that person. I try not to, you know, rival in that. You know, I'm always trying to look at what's next. You know, how can I be more impactful? You know, how where else can I serve? So I try to keep that mentality and try to stay as humble as possible, man. And, you know, just stay focused.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was watching a video today and, you know, and my heart goes out to Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul. Listening to a video that he was being interviewed on. So they asked him, they was like, okay, you know, so you've made it to the Western Conference Finals. You know, I don't see a smile on your face. You know, you should be excited. He was like, why?
Right.
Why be excited? Are we done?
Right.
You know, did we win a championship? No. You know, what's next?
Right.
And so that just reminded me when you said what's next is, you know, you can't get too excited over these small wins because right. These small wins lead you to the bigger win.
Right.
And if you lose your focus and you lose your vision, then you're going to be stuck at that point where you said, hey, maybe I celebrated too soon. You know, so you got to see it as a stepping stone, a stepping block to the next goal.
Right. And I even like what, you know, Tom Brady said about that. A reporter asked him, yo, Brady, you know, which ring do you like? Because we all know Tom Brady has 7 rings, Super Bowl rings. And he told the reporter, the next one. So, you know, you just have to understand, you know, the mindsets of some of these people that's very successful. You know, they don't get caught up on past achievements. They don't get caught up on, you know, stats. They're all about, you know, the love for the game and overall service. So, you know, and I try to keep the same mentality. You know, it's all about the next one. Don't get me wrong. I sit there and, you know, I watch film with myself. You know, I watch, you know, what I can do to improve. But I'm always concerned about, you know, what's next.
That's very important to your success. And then just, too, to be inspired and to keep moving forward.
Right, yeah. Right.
So, okay, on Facebook, you give the game on mindset and for at-risk youth on Monday Minutes and Teach Me Tuesdays. So, are there any plans to do podcasting in the near future? I'm going to keep on asking you about it.
yes, there are. But, you know, I'm very selective and methodical when it comes to certain things. So I try to keep things in perspective and keep things aligned. Because it's all about, you know, making sure everything is in alignment with your niche. So like I said, what I do is I empower disenfranchised youth to overcome life obstacles so they can avoid the school to prison pipeline. You know, long as that's within the realm and, you know, I can, you know, bring people in. Like I said, you know, I'm in, you know, we're in the correctional field. So, you know, my mindset is to, you know, bring in people of uniforms, you know, to talk about, okay, you know, some of the things that happens in the urban neighborhood. So that way, you know, the kids can listen to this or some of the community leaders can listen to this. And also vice versa, you know, some of the kids or the leaders in the community, you know, talk about the things that they see or some of the concerns that they have. And I think when you create a platform like that, first and foremost, it's different from, you know, any speaker. Any speaker. You know, there's not many speakers that are, you know, in the law enforcement field that have, you know, seen some of the things that I've seen, you know, grew up where I grew up at and, you know, and made it out. You know, to be honest, you know, I'm not going to say it's rare, but it's very... It's a tight rope to walk, you know, being where I'm from. And, you know, I can say I'm truly blessed, man. I'm blessed, you know. I can't explain it, but you know, I could have been, you know, dead. I could have been in jail, but I guess that's, you know, that's the passion behind what I'm trying to do right now. That's why, like I said, I see myself in some of these kids, you know, going down the wrong path. And like you said, if I can be able to reach back and pull them up, I think that's the ultimate satisfaction. Ultimate satisfaction. So if I can create a platform like that, where, you know, everybody comes to in alignment and, you know, talk about their views, excuse me, talk about their views and talk about what goes on in the community, you know, just how we can come to an overall solution, you know, I think that would be a very pivotal goal for me.
Man, that's very inspiring, because you know, a lot of people, they look back on where they grew up at and if they were able to make it out of that neighborhood. And, you know, where are they today? You know, right. Some people, you know, just being able to have a job to support their family.
Right.
Like, that's a big accomplishment for them. And it should be, because, you know, when you look at it, you know, you've overcome a lot of odds. And just to even further your vision and, you know, to inspire others and to always look back and say, hey, you know, I've made it to this point. I want to reach back and help those other people that are in my neighborhood that look up to me,
right,
or that support me, you know, that purchase my books. You know, I want to show them how they can do it if they're willing to, you know, sit and learn.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us about these two books and where can they be found at, the ones that you wrote.
Well, FIRE, again, the acronym for FIRE is Failure is Rarely External. A jump start to refueling your inner flame. That book can be found on Amazon.com. The first one that I wrote, and we can talk about as far as the transition. When I first started, I started out as the Will Workforce Success Company. But, you know, as you get older, you learn about business more. That's when I switched over to J. Smith Empowers LLC. But with the Will Workforce Success book, you know, is pretty much quotes, inspiring quotes, quotes that are very impactful, and, you know, quotes that have, you know, led people to, you know, make better decisions in life. Good reviews on the quotes, and it's just something, man, that, you know, content that people can, you know, read, become inspired by, and, you know, just be motivated, man. You know, that's my whole purpose, is to inspire and to serve.
Absolutely, man. I'm taking a deep breath here, because I remember when, you know, like you said, you were just going around quoting stuff, and I was like, okay, man, he need to put this on wax. He need to record this, because this has inspired me, you know, to get through my 12-hour day at work. And you know, so I'm just excited for you. I'm glad that you're doing something that you enjoy.
Appreciate it.
I see so many positive things that has already came from exactly what you've talked about in the past, and how you're inspiring the young youth out there to, you know, stay encouraged and to you know, listen to their parents, to listen to, you know, their teachers, and to make it past certain points, because eventually, you know, they're going to have to go back and revisit all of these times that they grew up and, you know, was in a position where they could have done better, but, you know, did they listen? Right. Did they pay attention? You know, and you get distracted so many times, especially whether they're in middle school or high school. You know, there's many things out there to distract them. So we thank you for your service and going out there, you know, helping the youth and keeping them inspired and encouraged, and, you know, helping them move past the point of where they are.
I appreciate that,
man. Yeah, absolutely. So how would people connect with you? You have social media handles or any websites you want to give out?
Well, on Facebook, they can reach me at J Smith. That's J-A-Y Smith. And on Instagram, it's at J Smith Empowers. That's JAYSMITHEMPOWERS at J Smith Empowers. I'm also currently taking booking and for speaking engagements. And For speaking engagements, I can be booked at info@jsmithempowers.com. That's info@jsmithempowers.com.
Wow, man, that's you're taking bookings now. That's exciting. That's exciting, bro. So yeah, definitely congratulations, man. Hey, you're just you're just shocking me, you know, every time I look up, you're moving in a further direction of, you know, just becoming, you know, his name is Jeremy Smith, but he goes by J. Smith now, guys. He's officially made it. Okay? He's officially made it.
Right.
And next time I see him, he's going to be, hey, man, my name is Jay. Just call me Jay. Right? So you know they made it whenever they just go by one name.
Wow.
But yes, so guys, definitely if you want to support, get his books on Amazon. But as well, I have my book, Meditation, How Art and My Consciousness Changed My Life. You can also get my book on Amazon as well. Guys, like I said, we are here to inspire you, encourage you, and help you take your meditation to the next level. It's been a plum pleasure of having my good friend, Jay Smith, here.
Appreciate it, man.
Jay Smith. Any last words that you want to say to him?
Yes. I would like for everybody to know out there, you know, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of the situation, especially in this pandemic, and I know a lot of times you may be questioning yourselves about certain things that have taken place or is currently taking place in your life. But I need you to understand that you were born on purpose for a purpose. I'm going to say it again. You were born on purpose for a purpose. So if you can remember that, you know, just take a deep breath, man. Just, you know, try to instill that. Write it on your wall, your bathroom mirror. Just understand that no matter what you go through, you was born on purpose for a purpose.
All right, guys. You heard it from Jay. All right. So we will see you guys on the next episode. Definitely support this podcast by going to Spotify. You can also catch it on iHeartRadio. Right. Go and subscribe. Go and like the episodes. Also, if you have any comments or anything that you would like to see, any different guests that you would like for me to have on a podcast, guys, we would like to, you know. We would like to find out what it is that you would like, you know, the different guests that you would like to have on the Meditation Podcast. So we are always all ears listening and ready to, you know, support you guys. So we will see you on the next episode.